The other day, in fact, this very week, I was reading in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. And it was so interesting because right now, where we live in Sioux City, Iowa, we're having a terrible drought in all the states around us. But as you listen to the news and so on, there are droughts everywhere. Farmers are having to plow their crops under or just cut them up to be able to feed the cattle. The situation is very bad in many, many states with no rain. And as I was reading, actually Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 15 is on drought. I thought, wow, you know, I'm going to read this real carefully. And if I read this and it's raining and everything, I probably wouldn't have jumped out at me. But I'm going, God is speaking about droughts and why? See, so these verses, literally I titled the subject, God is speaking on the subject of drought and its causes. And I want to read, I'll be looking down because I have my notes down here. But in verse 13, God said this, and I'm using this Bible because I read a different Bible through, and after it's already marked, I won't read that Bible again because I don't want what God gave me when I read it through. I don't want to go back. I want to have a plain Bible again, plain Bible that I can mark, that God is able to speak to me, and I'm not stuck on the different colors, I explain, that I put in before. Right now, I'm reading a Bible, and I really enjoy it. It's called the Names of God Bible. It's one of the newer translations, and I know Ann Spangler. She and another lady wrote a wonderful book on Jewish culture, Sitting at the Feet of Rabbi Jesus, which gives you some insight into the culture in which Jesus was addressing and why he said what he said. Because this was not written directed specifically at Russians or Canadians or USA or South America, Central America. He was speaking into the culture which he lived, which was a Jewish culture. And sometimes knowing a little bit of the cultural, you see even a deeper meaning. It's plenty deep enough, but with the deeper meaning, oh, now I see why he was addressing this particular issue. Now, he says here in verse 13, if you faithfully, he was telling the children of Israel, if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today and love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, now comes the promise. He says, if you're right with me and you got your heart right with me, he said, I will send rain at the right time, both in the fall and in the spring. It will provide grass in the fields for your animals, and you will be able to eat all you want. Beautiful, beautiful promise. But what happens if I'm disobedient? What happens if the nation I'm living in is passing laws to make what God says wrong, right? And our leaders may be corrupt. And this could be a judgment of God to get our attention. So what can we do? You're saying, well, what in the world can I do? I'm just one person. You know, and you may be a farmer right now that's looking at this. And we have a farmer on our board. And this is very, very tough time when there isn't rain and you are depending on rain, like God said, rain at the right time. A lot of rain in the spring and a lot of rain in the fall. Boy, what should I do? And I thought about that. And immediately a verse popped into my mind. That's a beautiful verse that gives me, what can I do in this drought time? And my Christian friends. Second Chronicles 7:14 was a verse in United States of America years ago that was very, very popular. And I think it was our anniversary of some sort or whatever. But this verse has a great promise in it, and we need it today. God said this, "However, if my people who are called by my name," he's not saying people. He's addressing this to people that are called by his name. The word name in the Hebrew especially, and I'm sure in the Greek too, but in the Hebrew, it signifies all that that person is. So if you call yourself a Christian, then that signifies all what Christ is. You know, all he is summarized in his name. The same for God. That's what's interesting about the names of God. In every book, they list all the different Hebrew names and what they mean, and they're written in that book with the Hebrew pronunciation. And the different names of God describe different aspects of God. So it's interesting if you know what name God picked to put in there when he was making a promise or giving a certain address and so on. Okay. Now, Second Chronicles says, "My people, call by my name," if you call yourself a child of God, "will humble themselves before God." You know, have a contrite and broken heart before the Lord. Bow down before him and pray. And search for God and turn from their evil ways. God says, then I will hear their prayers from heaven. God says, your heart is right. You're humbling yourselves before me, and you're crying out to me. Then I hear, and I will forgive their sins, and here's the promise, and I will heal their country. Beautiful, beautiful thing. And if God's people would come together and humble themselves and get their hearts right with God and pray that God would send rain, I believe that God will heal the drought and send rain. But the condition is that God's people would gather together or, you know, pray, whether you've got a community of believers or not. If you have a community, why not share 2 Chronicles 7:14 and say, why don't we meet together? And I know some places are doing this. The Christians are meeting together and praying for the healing of the land, that God would bless the land with rain.